Lord, we are thankful for your love, for your grace that we have in Jesus, for the new beginning and new life. We pray for our souls in here that are with us and have committed their life to you. We pray that your Lord would continue to be with them and that you would bless them and indeed to bless each and every one of us. We pray for those who this morning are present here and have not committed their life to you, might be wandering and might be seeking you. Lord, we pray that indeed they too may be part of your kingdom, that we all together, as we have sung the song, may join each other in heaven eternally. We pray for your word that you would speak to us this morning and touch our lives, that you may refresh us, that you would change us, that you would make us more like you. We thank you for your Jesus, that he was willing to go to the cross and die for us and give us a new hope. We thank you that he's praying today for all of us, that we would be with him in his glory. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, with the help of the Lord, I would like us to turn to the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you wish to follow. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'd like to read from the verse 17 to the end of the chapter. And I'd like to read in two versions, if I may. I'd read it in the King James, and I'd read it also in NIV. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to which that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The same text in the NIV reads, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting man's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That's really the focus, I think, for us today. And the focal point is two things, being in Christ and being a new creation. As a result of being in Christ, we are a new creation. I think that is the point that you and I need to understand. We sometimes do not get this point. We want to change things around. We want to make changes and amend changes in our lives without Christ. But the scripture teaches that if we are in Christ, we are transformed. We are being changed. We are being renewed. We are being formed into a new person. And the testimonies that we had last night as we were listening to them, they have testified that they are new creation. They have begun a new life. They're no longer the same since Jesus came into their life. And the scripture teaches, if you are in Christ, Christ in you, and also him, and also us in him, Christ in you and you in Christ equals a change, a transformation. This is what we refer to, and Jesus was referring to, as a new birth. Everyone loves to have a new beginning. We all make mistakes in life. And so often we wish we could have just another chance, that we could do just once more. Give me just another go. And God was fair. He did not give to Adam just one chance. He did not give you and I just one chance. He gave us another go. And gave us a fair go, as Australians would say. Give us a fair go. And he is being very, very just and fair in his dealings with us. He has given us through Christ another opportunity to be renewed, to be changed, to be transformed, that we can choose the life that we want to live. And that is a blessing. Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. He didn't say that he won't enter the kingdom of God. He said that he will not even see the kingdom of God. What did he mean? He meant, for as long as we are in this flesh, for as long as we want to use our intellect and our mind and our understanding to comprehend the spiritual and the kingdom of God, with this capacity, he says, absolutely no chance. That's what he means. We can't even begin to comprehend and see the kingdom of God, because we are looking with our own profane eye. We are looking at him and God and try to understand God with our own capacity that he has given to us by nature. And in Romans it says, if I may refer to it, in chapter 8, those who live according to the sinful nature, that is, as we are born into this world, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what their nature desires. But those who live in the accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind, or the carnal mind, as it says in King James, is hostile or an enemy to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. This is the truth, that our sinful nature and our mind that we have, we cannot please God with it. It is an enemy to God. Because the way we think is not the way God thinks. The scripture says, as a man thinks, so is he. And the scripture also teaches in the same, in the Romans, I believe, that it says again, Apostle Paul, that we ought to be not, that we are not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed and renewed in our mind. It's talking about a new nature. It is talking about a new mindset, new way of looking at things. That's why Jesus says that unless we are born again, we will not be able to comprehend, we will not be able to see and understand God's kingdom. We will not be able to understand what Jesus is all about. And this is what the testimonies were saying, and all of us who have been through the conversion and have experienced the conversion that God has done. It says it is God's work. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. It's a wonderful thing to be new, but it's also scary, I think. You know, you and I don't like to change. We like our safety. We like to be the way we are. We are afraid of change. Businesses and corporations are afraid of change. We're talking in the Bible lesson this morning about a government change that happened way back after Solomon. And when his son came and a new government came, there was a change. When we come to the elections, we wonder what is future going to be like. We are a bit apprehensive. We are a bit anxious. We are concerned about a future, but we are afraid of the change. At the same time, you and I don't like what we maybe see. On one hand, we wish to change. We wish there is a change. But when it comes to a change, we backtrack and we hold so firmly to the ways that we know. And we don't want to let go, because we are comfortable and we are too afraid of change. And this is the message, I think, that is very important. The good news is that these people have allowed Christ to come into their heart and to change them. That's the good news. And they have experienced the change. And they were happy, and they are happy with the change. They wanted to change their life, and they tried on their own, and they couldn't do it. They tried over and over, and they failed. And they realized that the only way to change is to let God change them. And that's when it happened. And they have experienced peace. They've experienced the better understanding, complete transformation of their mind and thinking. From now on, they say, we want to live for Jesus. From now on, they can understand His love. From now on, they understand His grace. From now on, they understand what God is all about. From now on, they understand why Jesus died on the cross. And it is no foolishness to them. It's no joke to them. From now on, they value it and price it very much. Every drop of the blood that fell on the ground, they value it. It's priceless. And to some of us who maybe don't want to change, we better watch out for this man, Jesus. Because you know what? If you let him in, he will change you. You will never be the same. That's what it says. He says, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man lets me in, I will come in and sup with him and so on. But you know what? When he comes into your life, don't expect to be the same, because you will never be the same. Whoever lets Jesus in, he will never be the same again. That is why it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. People want to get into the kingdom of God, but they want to get into the kingdom of God the way they are. They wouldn't mind to be with Jesus and in his kingdom, but not accept him. They want to be apart from Jesus. And Jesus says that without me, you can do nothing. Man would like to get to know God with our own intellect and understanding. We try to explain God. It is foolishness to believe. How could someone be raised from the dead? How could you believe that? It's only a story. It's foolishness to the human nature, to a human mind. But it is the power of God to those who believe. So therefore, how does this change come about? It comes, as it says in John chapter 1, it says about Jesus that he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Why? Because they wanted to understand him, they wanted to recognize him, they wanted to look at him with their own eyes, with their own mind, with our physical capacity. They needed new lenses, they needed new eyes, they needed new mind to be able to see him and understand him and recognize him. He says he came into the world, he came to his own, they didn't recognize him, they didn't accept him. He says, yet to all those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right or the power to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. This is the new birth that the Bible talks about. This is the transformation and the change that happens when we allow Jesus to come into our life. To be changed, to be transformed, to be made new, we need to allow Jesus to come into our life. And the only way that we can be born again, the only way that we can be changed and have a new beginning is only through Christ. There's no other way that the Bible teaches very clearly by which we could be saved. There's no other name by which we can be saved. There's no other way into heaven but through Christ. And people challenge that today. They want to get to heaven on their own. They want to be good. If I do good, if I'm a good humanitarian, an honest person, why wouldn't God accept me? This is our logic. This is our thinking. If it were possible, Jesus would not have gone onto the cross. If it were possible, we would have been able to change ourselves. We run out of steam oftentimes, whether it is through our diet and exercise and commitments that we make personally, some things. I want to change my life, and I do this, and I do that, and I do that, and so on. And before you know, I run out of steam, and I become frustrated, and I fail. And I become disillusioned. And many at times happens in my life and with all of us. That is because we want to do it on our own. We want to do it our way. And we don't have the energy, we don't have the power, we don't have the ability. The scripture teaches that the only way that we can be changed and transformed is by allowing Jesus, by allowing God to change us. The transformation of the witnesses, of the converts in here, and us as witnesses, what really brought about the change in their life is the Spirit of God. It was the Word of God. That is what's going to change us. That is what changes people. That is what converts people. That is what transforms us. So this new person needs two things. Needs a new mindset, first of all. We need to have a new way of thinking. We need to have a new way of looking at life. We need to see the way God sees. We need to think the way Jesus thinks. And in Philippians chapter 2, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." That's number one. If you want to be changed, then let the mind of Christ be in you. Accept Jesus and let Him control your mind. The only way that we will be able to change is allowing for Jesus to control our thinking, our thoughts. Our thoughts and our brain control our actions too. As a man thinks, it says, so is he. What do we fill our mind with? That's the way we are. That's the way we will function. That's the way we will act and react. So how does Jesus think? How does Jesus think? What did he say? Jesus said, "I came not to be served, but I came to serve." That's the first and foremost point of the transformation of our thinking and life that will bring about change. To think as Jesus did. "I came not to be served, but to serve." I'm here at your service. It's a good way to approach every day in our life, in our family, in our business, and children, and whatever else that we do. My attitude is here. I'm at your disposal. Many times we ask God, use me, change me. But when it comes to change, and He wants to change us, we resist. When He wants to use us, we deny Him the opportunity. Because it doesn't suit us, maybe in certain ways, how we want to do things. So on one hand, we may be continually asking God to change us, and He wants to, but we are preventing Him from change because we do not want to yield to Him to do what He tells us. "I came not to be served, but to serve. I came not to condemn the world, but to save." Another good thought. Another good positive way to think. "I came not to condemn the world and to criticize the world, but to die for the world." That's why Jesus came. "I came to save that which was lost. I came to seek and find that which was lost." Can you see the change that that would bring about in our attitudes and our life? This is the power of God, it says. This is what transforms us. This is what changes us. His word, His attitude, His mindset, the way we lived, the way Jesus lived. "Let this mind be in you, even as it was in Christ Jesus." The other thing that the Bible says, that He wants to give us a transplant of our heart. He wants to give us a new heart. Because Jesus said, as He says, that out of our heart comes all the wickedness, all the evil desires, all the slander, all the gossip, all the criticism, all the wickedness, all the adultery and lusts and whatever else that drives us. He says, out of the heart, these things come. And these things, He says, are the things that actually pollute and defile a person. This is what makes us bad. This is why I do bad things. Because it is in here. It's not that someone else made me do it. It's because it lives in my heart. For out of the heart proceed all this envying and strife and dissension and bitterness and so on. And he says, these are the things that really makes a person really bad. This is the ugly part about us. And so God says, you know what? If you want to be a child of God, I need to change your heart. And that's maybe a wrong term. I want to give you a new heart. We want to change. God wants to give us a new heart, just like he wants to give us that new mind. We need it new. Our problem is that we want to fix it. We want to tune it up a bit. We want to patch it up. And Jesus says, it doesn't work. You can try it, but it's not going to work. He says, to patch an old garment, it's not going to work, because the tear is going to show even more. To say I'm right, when you can see all the faults in me, guess what? It's rather embarrassing, even more embarrassing than I would have ever thought otherwise. It's better that I don't even say that I'm trying to be a Christian when I'm not. It's better to say that I'm not even trying to be Christ-like when I'm not. So he says, do not try to patch life. I want to give you a new life. I want to make you brand new. I want to give you a new mind, that you're going to think like I think, that you will see the way I see, that you will act the way I act. He says God does not look like man on the external. He looks onto the heart. He looks onto the heart. And that's why God wants to give us a new heart. These people here, they're the same as you've seen them yesterday and last week. They look the same. But guess what? They have a new mind. They have a new sight, new vision. And they have a new heart. And God says, you know, I will take the stony and the stubborn and self-willed heart, and I will remove it, and I will transplant and give you a new heart of the flesh that is going to be tender and loving and kind and patient and compassionate. Isn't that a wonderful transformation and a change? That's what God wants to do with us. And he says only people who are born again, who have a new mind and a new heart, will be able to understand and see the kingdom of God. And only them, they will be able then to enter the kingdom of God. He says, without that change, without that new birth, he says, no man will ever see the kingdom of God. And he says, as many as have received him, to them he gave that power to be able to be transformed and changed. That is the key. Receiving Jesus, accepting Jesus, that he actually has died for you, he died for me, that he bled for us, that he came to save us. That is foolishness to the world. To our carnal mind, makes no sense. For as long as we want to get to heaven with our carnal way of thinking and looking at things, we will not make it. We need a new mind. We need a new heart. And Jesus said, not Jesus, but God, obviously, through the Bible in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah, it says, can Ethiopian change his color of skin? Can you change the color of your skin? Never mind about Ethiopian. Can I change the color of my skin, the way I look? We'd like to sometime. We try to. Can a leopard change his spots? That's what the Bible says in Jeremiah. You've seen leopards, I'm sure. Can a leopard change its spots? Obviously not. By nature, that's the way we are. We can't change ourselves the way we are. He says, neither can you change yourself to do good when you're used to doing evil by nature. So let's forget and let's not waste any more time and effort to try to change and patch up our life. Because God says we will utterly fail. We need to have a new mind. We need to have a new heart. We need to be a new creation. And the only way it is through Christ. And thank God for Christ. As Apostle Paul says, oh, what a wretched man I am. without Christ. But thank God for Christ Jesus, that through him we can be more than conquerors. So may we praise God for what he has done in the lives of these five souls, what he is doing in the lives of some who are seeking at the moment and are on the threshold of committing themselves to God. And may God also work in the lives of those who may at the moment entertain only possibly an idea and maybe standing at the distance and wondering, should I? Could I? I'm afraid to give in to God to have it his way. You don't know how blessed you might be because you are thinking as a man thinks, according to the nature. You need to have the mind of Christ, and then you will find the fulfillment and joy that you will have. As Jesus said, I have come to give you a life that is full of joy and abundant and beyond anything that you can think or ask or comprehend. That is the promise that Jesus gives you if you want to let him in. And when you do, he will change you and you will be more than happy for doing it. And you'll be thankful to him for that. May the Lord bless us this morning.